Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back, 'cause this means war.
Hallelujah. We thank God for another Thursday morning. We're headed right into the weekend. And if you in Florida this weekend, ooh-wee, wow. Tomorrow we'll be at 80 degrees. You'll wake up to 57. And tomorrow you'll get 80 degrees with rain and thundering and carrying on like yesterday and today. And today we woke up to 64 with a high of 77. Now, yesterday we woke up to 66 with a high of 84. Then on Saturday, we'll wake up to 63 with a high of 69. And on Sunday, Saturday night, it is freezing. It's a hard freeze, 33 degrees. Wake up Sunday morning to 41 with a high all day of 56. So it is going to be chilly, chilly, chilly this weekend. I go to the prison on Sunday, which it'll be 56 all day. But I'm wearing what we call back in the day, my overcoat. Yes, yes. With the hood on it, I may even put on gloves this go round because I want to be warm and the wind feel like it's cutting through you. Yeah, that wind feel like it'll cut right through you. Woo! So I told anybody that's going up that way, hey, put on your warm clothes because Sunday it would be cold. But we thank God for this weather because he don't just leave us in the freezing cold. We don't have all this snow and stuff. And so it's winter, so we get some winter days. But not every day is a winter day because like on Tuesday, it was a summer day, 80, 88 degrees in the month of March, 80 in the month of February. We in Florida, so the weather appears to always be warmer than most places. But at the same time, we get our share of cold. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning for another Thursday morning. Thank him for waking us up. I thank him for the work he called me to and chose me for. I thank him for bringing me up into this present time and this week. Thank him that he blessed me. At my age, I can be busy. Yeah, I can have something on my mind other than thinking, well, you're older now, you're getting ready to die. I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I thank God for the work this morning because if I believe if it wasn't for the work, I would be dwindling down. Yeah, I probably, you know, wouldn't be thinking of others and doing what I could for people. And yesterday was a busy, busy phone day. I ran over to help someone and ran back here and I got back here to do some work for the person, and the phones just would not stop. And people call it I have not heard from in a long time. But that's the Lord stirring up the gift. That's him stirring up the work. And I had one lady to tell me, she's new, I just met her. I had her to tell me yesterday. She said, oh, my goodness, you know some stuff. She said, I got to tell you this, I love you. And we laughed and then, you know, I would talk a little bit more. And she said, I love you because I was telling her what I saw. And she's 84 years old. And she was like, oh, I could never tell nobody that. They wouldn't have believed me. She said, but you know. Yes, yes. This is what happened when God sent you. Yeah. When it's they call it a divine appointment. When God put it together, it will bless you tremendously. She said, oh, my goodness, you have blessed me this day. I feel so much better, yada, yada, yada. So I told her I would call her back today with some information that she needs. And I'm thankful unto the Lord for the work. Do y'all hear me? And especially for people older than me, that I can be a blessing to them. People that's incarcerated, I can be a blessing to them. Even children, I can be a blessing to them. Yeah. People who don't have no food, I can be a blessing to them. God has blessed me with a work. And I must work while it's day because when night comes, I can't see. Now, I got to share this. To do this work, I had to go through something to get the work. To get the assignments, I had to go through something. And sometimes in doing the assignments, you're going to go through something. Hallelujah. For great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. Almighty God that have all power. He's on my side today in spite of me. Oh, I feel all right right there. Amen goes right there. So I'm determined not to allow the enemy to defeat me. I'm determined not to look at me and say, oh, my knee hurts so bad today. I just can't do it. The devil is a fool and a liar. I command this knee in the name of Jesus to get right. I command my mind focused. I command my mind to remember, because that which is in me, he bring all things to my remembrance. I'm not perfect in any kind of way. But again, greater is he, hallelujah, that lives within me than he that is in. Greater does it all. You hear me say I because I'm used to me. But greater is what's doing it. Almighty God through the Son, Jesus Christ, is what's getting it done. And because he's getting it done through me, he give me what I need to get it done. Life, health, strength, health. Today I'm speaking well. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And so I'm thankful unto him. And I could remember back in the day, Louis, in 2012 and all like that, I was wide open serving the elderly, serving the sick, serving children, wide open. I could, back during these days, I could do laundry. I could do dishes, huh? Taking people to and from the doctor, to and from the grocery store. And I would go over to clean for the elderly and, you know, let's say Miss Jones. That's not a name. I'm just using that name. Miss Jones may want me to stay a little longer. So she's tell me about something that happened in her childhood. And she would capture my attention. And look, I would move. I would sit right there and hear that entire thing. And she gave me the long version because she did not want me to leave. And so I sat there and it blessed me and reminded me of my Aunt Loreen, how she used to tell me her childhood stories, things that happened to her and things that went on back during the time when she was a girl, how they washed clothes and all of this, how many tin tubs they had and what went in each tin tub and the way they cooked and that type of thing. And that woman could cook. Oh, yeah. They say I can cook, but not like Loreen. Loreen was an old-fashioned cook. I'm talking about she was back there when they did it, when her grandmama, her mama put it together. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord today for all he has given me. And if he has given you a work to do, you tell that devil today, no, I'm going to get the work of the Lord done. I'm not going to get sick and tired of people. When I'm overwhelmed and I've had enough, I stop. I can't do anymore because I don't want it to turn me against it. What they call it's a word they use for it. Burnout. Yeah, I don't want to get burned out. So I keep going. Yes, sir. Some are very wise and can tell you good stuff. And they did, Brother Louis. They told me some good stuff. I look at Brother Marquez Grissom. He's a young man in his early 20s. If I'm not mistaken, a middle 20s. And he is always seeking knowledge from older people. He want that thing. Because he said he don't want to act like the young people that he see today and the things they're doing. He's seeking God. He's seeking the scriptures. He's seeking those in the scriptures. Have you ever heard of Hosea? Yeah, I want to go look at Hosea, yeah, that kind of thing, because he's seeking, and he's seeking reality. And see, this reality, that the reality that these young people think this is reality, it's not. It could be so much better. But this one got to follow that one, and that one got to follow this one, and I got to follow him. No. Pray for wisdom for yourself, that you can lead your own self. You won't be a follower, but you will be a leader. All it takes to be a leader is to tell the truth. Yeah, today. Because it is people looking for the truth. Now, I'm not talking about them kind that's leading you to do wrong. And because of the bad things they went through, they focusing on the negative. So remember I told you about familiar spirits? Yeah. Some people come to lead you because they see their spirits in you. Okay, well, I went through with my parents. You went through with yours. Well, okay, my dad wasn't there. Yours wasn't there. Okay, now I know you're still a couple of packs of meat, but were you still electronics? So this type of leadership is not a good leadership. It's going to lead to destruction. But a good leadership is one that gives valuable information and encourages and inspires you and teach you what is right in the sight of God, because they're teaching you what he is pleased with, Almighty God is pleased with. That's good leadership. If the leadership of America could jump on that bandwagon, I'm telling you, we would be blessed. God would come in like he did with David. Oh, you want to go fight that battle? Oh, you want to go straighten that out? Look here, let me give you what you need. I'm going to give you the right men to be in command. I'm not going to give you nothing wimpy, nothing fearful, nothing soft. I'm going to give you what's strong. And I will show you how to go in and conquer. Yeah, we need God for all of this. He know the future of tomorrow. I remember when Saul went to the witch and pulled Samuel up out his rest. What do you want, Saul? I want to know what's going on. See, God will even put people in your life that can tell you things. But now you can't just rely on prophecy to live for God. That won't work. We got to rely on them 66 books to live for him. And because we're depending on his word, he will send somebody by every now and then to encourage you, to let you know what's next. Yeah. And he may not do it very often because he don't want you living on that, on a word. He wants you living on the word of God. Hallelujah. Today we have Pastor John Hagee, and I wanted to share his message with you and see what you think about his messages. I've been told his messages will scare you to death. I don't think so, but I got to take a listen, and I wanted you to listen with me and get your feedback on him and see what you think about the message. Was it encouraging to you? Did it help you to understand some things? What did the end time message do for you? The end time prophecy message. Yeah, end time prophecy. So we want to take a listen to him. I'm going to prayer and one more song. And I may take a listen to a clip because I want to bring him right in at 8 a.m. Yeah. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for another Thursday morning. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for all the strength that we have. And Lord, many may not have all that they desire, but God, you gave them enough. And Father, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And some of us, you know, we may not be able to get out as much and do as much as we did in our younger days. But Father, there's a telephone, there's a computer, and there's so many social medias. Lord, if we'll reach out to others, as you reach out to us, we want to follow your lead. We want to be workers in this last hour, God, because The harvest is plenteous again this morning, we are saying, Father. We know that you know, but we want you to know that we know the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And Father, we ask you this morning to send more laborers into your vineyard. But Father, we ask that you would remember the labor that you called and chose us for. God, stir up the gifts that you have given us to work unto you. Fix our hearts today and regulate our minds in you today. Let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we want to do your will. We want to run this race until you call and beckon for us. We want to please you this day, oh God. We want to do the things that you can accept because we realize you just don't accept any and every old thing. Your almighty God, the holy God, Jehovah, that have all power. There is no higher power. Help us today to be for you. But Father, either we're for you or we're against you. And we don't want to be against you this morning. We want to be for you. And we want to show you today that we are for you. We want to forget about ourselves. Father, concentrate on you. Worship you in spirit and in truth. And obey you to the letter, O God. In the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit today for your people. Wake us up, O God. Many of us are asleep. Many of us are still feeling the flesh, this life. But Father, it's appointed unto man once to die and after death comes the judgment. Help us today, God, to forget about ourselves. Concentrate on you and obey your word. Help us today to see you. And not just that you went away, sent your Son away to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we may be also. But Father, we want to do what's right by you. It is just right to do right. You made us for your pleasure. Father, you told us that we could cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. You told us we can lift up our head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Father, we're leaning and depending on you, for we know no other. And we don't want to be sometime Christians. We don't want to be sometime believers, the sometime saints of God. But Father, daily, we want to follow you. Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Help us to accept the truth this morning. Help us to open our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost have to say to us today concerning us walking upright before you. But Lord, the Spirit is indeed willing. It's our flesh that's weak. And Lord, there's no good thing in our flesh. It's a deceiver. It's deception, oh God. And Lord, it will tell us, no, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to do that. No, that's not right. Oh, no, that's not the truth. Because it don't want to obey. Your spirit and the flesh is always at war. They're always warring against each other. Yeah, help us today, oh God, to be your people. Help us to obey you at any cost in the name of Jesus. We ask in it all. We need you today like never before, oh God. We need you to help us to remember to prep. Help us to remember to study your word. Help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to pray like we've never prayed. Help us, oh God, all through the day to seek your face turned from our wicked ways. Father, so that you can hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal our land. America need a healing. Each American need a healing. Oh, do it for us today, oh God, as we seek your face. And turning from our wicked ways, as we're drawing nearer to you, do it for us. Heal us, God, in the name of Jesus. Fix our hearts again this morning, we ask, and regulate our minds. We know that your ears are not deaf and your arms are not too short to reach down or to fix any situation we have. And help us again this morning, oh God, not to focus on situations, but to focus on you. Who can fix every situation? There's nothing too hard for you to do. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you for hearing our petition. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that we come boldly this morning before your throne of grace. And you will in no wise cast us out. Father, we thank you that you look beyond our faults and yet meet our needs. We thank you this morning that you're on our side in spite of us. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not just looking for prosperity from you, Father. We're not just looking for money and stuff and things. But God, we're looking for you to fix our hearts. We're looking for you to renew the right spirit within us that we will obey you, that we will do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you this day. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you're worthy this morning. You're more than worthy, for you're more than enough for us. Oh, we thank you today for what you did. Oh, you sent your son, Jesus, and we believe on him this morning. And God, we believe in that we won't perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Oh, we believe on your son this morning, and we want to do what's right. Help us today in the name of Jesus. Father, bless your people. Bless every believer this morning, every Christian, every saint, oh God. Bless those that are truly following you, following your word, oh God. Help this morning. I'll remember the household of faith today, God. Move for your people like never before in the name of Jesus. We need a spiritual healing like never before, oh God. Heal us this morning. Renew the right spirit within us today, oh God. Your spirit. And give us the heart and mind to follow what your spirit say to us. For you're leading and guiding us into all truth. You're leading and guiding in the right path for your name's sake. Hallelujah. And if your name is on it, it's better than good. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. We thank you. And Father, we bring America before you, these United States. And Father, you have blessed us more than anyone else I've ever known. You bless your people here. You love the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you bless us all. You've shined on the just as well as the unjust. We thank you this morning. And Father, we ask that you would stir our hearts and minds to seek you more, to do more unto you as the people of the United States of America. Lord, we know many don't see us as people. They don't see us as human beings, but Lord, you made us. You know all about us, and you made us for your pleasure. And Father, we are asking you this morning that you would bless every American. Strengthen us, God, that we would stand for you and nothing else. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way. Anything that's not of you, we cast it to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke it for our sake. And that God, we would come back to our right minds and put away the tools of the devil. Give the enemy back all his tools, oh God. And that God, we would lift you up in spirit and in truth. And that we would follow your ways in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Bless the segment of Jesus in the morning. Father, have your way here today. Move by your spirit like never before this day. In the name of Jesus, oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your many miracles. Father, we thank you for that which is uncommon that you bring our way. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Bless our hearts and minds to give more. Lord, you love a cheerful giver. And you said that if we would give, you would even cause men to give into our bosom. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Lord, help us not to love money. And help us not to think of ourselves when it comes to money. But God, help us to be a blessing, to spread the good gospel, your gospel, the good news of Jesus around the world. There's no better news than to know that you so loved us, the whole world, that you sent your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we thank you this morning. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. Bless the day as only you can do. Father, bless bereaved families everywhere. They've lost loved ones, oh God. And some people are still grieving over it. Years and years and years and years later. But Lord, we know you're the God that healeth thee. And we ask that you would heal this morning our broken hearts everywhere. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. Father, we give you the honor and all praise. And we ask it all again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are we standing on your word today, Father? You said you supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And we believe in the supply from you. And we're depending on you, Father, to supply for us. Oh, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you. We're standing on your word. Can't do nothing until you come. And after standing, Father, we're standing some more. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. There's none like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God who have all the power. And I think on that thing, and I get excited some days, and I just feel above myself because all power is on my side. Yeah, all power. He's for me today. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, let's go to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, we'll come back with, we're going to may have to do it a little early. Pastor John Charles Hagee, and his message is End Time Prophecy. And I want to hear what he has to say. And I thought maybe you might want to hear what he has to say too. And let's check it out and see what it is. If there's something that's encouraging and something that will help us to be a blessing unto Almighty God, to bless his name, to lift him up, to grow us, that we'll be a blessing to others, because he wished that none should perish. And we wish the same thing. Y'all, I got to get my new chair put together. So as soon as my son get a day off again, he's coming and put my new chair together and put me down a new, that hard, hard plastic that you can roll your chair around on. But it's on top of carpet. So he may have to cut that carpet out, put something else down, and then put my hard plastic down that you don't hear all that rolling and rumbling around. Yeah. So anytime I move the chair, I stand up or have to walk over to the other side of the room, you hear all of that. So I apologize this morning, but we're working on fixing it so it'll be quiet and smooth. And you can hear everything. Hallelujah. So listen, let's go to one more song of the morning. And we may get to play a clip today when we come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for it, y'all. Let's go here.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
Anyway. can't hear y'all clapping.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father. And your lips will move as I quote them, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it so you can carry that with you when you graduate because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he was a longtime navigator, and Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, "God, at this moment, I rest in you. And you alone." If you're married, "God, help my spouse and me to trust you, to lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you." I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. It's, everything is lost. All possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God. So
surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still, will I stand in your presence, or to my knees, or will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine, I can only imagine, yeah. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
More than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
God's children said, praise the Lord. Engineer, I want you to give this PA set all the juice it's got. This is my third time to bat today, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you here live outside of Tulsa? Let me see your hand. Whoa, that's 80% of you. I am delighted to be at Victory tonight, to be a part of the generational blessing that God is passing and has passed to Pastor Paul. I am believing God for great, miraculous, supernatural blessings on his life, to bless this city for decades to come. The sermon I'm preaching tonight in Revelation, the sixth chapter, turn there please. You can get this in the lobby at the book table where my people will be following this event tonight. They'll tell you what it cost and so forth. I don't know. Revelation, the sixth chapter. If you're there, say amen. I love horses. There's nothing more majestic than a beautiful horse running full gallop across a green pasture. It's poetry in motion. It's grace and power running free. In this sermon series, we open the book of Revelation and through the telescope of Bible prophecy, explore the immediate future of our world. John the Revelator is on the Isle of Patmos. He's an enemy of the state because he would not participate in emperor worship. Patmos is a rocky island that's 10 miles long, 6 miles wide. He's surrounded by criminals, the screeching sound of seagulls, the pounding of the waves. And at the age of 86, he is writing the last book of the Bible. Revelation, the sixth chapter. John introduces the four horses of the apocalypse. There's a white horse carrying a rider who conquers the earth, greedily running roughshod over anyone standing in his way. He is a deceiver. He is a dictator. He is a living devil. The second horse is a fiery red horse of war, in which the Revelation says 1/4 of the earth's population will be slaughtered under this rider. The third horse is the black horse of famine. Because I assure you, as certainly as my name is John Hagee, there is a global food shortage on the way. You will live to see the day, I believe in America, where supermarkets have stripped their shelves bare, where civil rights are in the streets, riots are in the streets over food. The fourth horse is the gray horse of death. Listen closely. The Greek word for this horse is chloros, which means green. 55 years ago when I was going to seminary, here's how they explained that. In the Bible, it calls him a gray horse because death and gray go together. And they explained the word Greek, gray, chloros, as when something dies, it rots and turns green. I really never did settle in my mind. I've always believed that God knows what he's trying to say. And when he put the Greek word chloros in there, it was green. It's the same Greek word used in Mark 9 when it talks about green grass. The fact is that the CIA fact book states that green is the traditional color of Islam. Revelation 6 and 8 says, and power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword. Understand that Islam right now controls 1/4 of the earth. They have 1.5 billion followers of the Islamic faith. 1/3 of them consider themselves radical. That means there are 500 million people who have a message from God to kill you and to kill Jewish people. That's a fact. Even now as we hear the thundering hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse storming across the stage of human history, bringing deception and wars and hunger and death on a scale that the mind of man cannot fathom. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that God's judgment is coming to this nation. Acts 17:31 says, quote, for he, God, has set a day certain when he will judge the earth with justice by the man Jesus he has appointed. Right now, corruption in America is running amok. We don't feel like that politicians can be brought to justice because the corruption is so fierce. I assure you, the day is going to come when God Almighty will judge this world and judge this nation, and every person in Washington, D.C. will answer for the corruption that they have allowed to prosper in the United States of America. Why? Because God never changes. God judged Noah's generation that mocked the message of salvation, that salvation being the ark. God drowned every human being on the planet because they rejected the message of redemption. He proved that he is the judge of all the earth. God judged Egypt for its abuse of the Jewish people, plunging that powerful and rich civilization into a poverty that exists to this very moment. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for their sexual lifestyle. And listen to this clearly. God will have to judge America, or he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We are no better. One generation of Jewish people died in the wilderness because they refused to enter the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is going to judge America for the 60 million innocent children that have been murdered in the womb of the mother under the banner of pro-choice. That's going to happen. Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Hello, Planned Parenthood. Selling the body parts of infants is barbaric. You don't belong in a civilized society. I call on every member of Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. Take our tax dollars away from them. Listen closely. I want to tell you what's about to happen on planet Earth and how to escape the living hell that these four horses and their riders represent very soon on planet Earth. Read with me Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, come and see. Are you reading with me, or did I go deaf here? Read with me, verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person that's in this building tonight, because we are here by divine appointment for God to show us the future, because the God that we serve is the God that knows the end from the beginning. Bless this word in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. What does the word apocalypse mean? Ask 10 Christians and 9 of them will say it means danger, death, and destruction. It means nothing of the kind. The word apocalypse means, it is a Greek word meaning to remove the veil. Say that with me. To remove the veil. To uncover. To make clear. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to remove the veil of the future as to what was going to happen. God is saying through John the Revelator and through the church, I'm the God that knows the end from the beginning, and I'm in total control of kings and kingdoms. And I'm pulling back the veil in the book of Revelation to show you expressly what's going to happen in the future. When you see Russia, the king of the north, and when you see China, the king of the east, and when you see Iran and the Islamic nations, the king of the south, and when you see Europe and America, the king of the west, on the stage of world history at the same time, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Antichrist is coming to produce a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. Listen closely. Revelation is a drama of triumph. Revelation is not a horror story. Revelation is the story of the church of Jesus Christ, the triumphant church. It is the church overcoming death, hell, and the grave. It is the story of the rapture of the church, taking out of this earth into mansions on high. Secular humanists in Washington and in Europe are destroying civilization. God's not in heaven wringing his hands. He's in heaven in total control. This is the story of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who are going to be thrown by our God into the fires of hell. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. You have authority by the word, by the blood, by the name of Jesus Christ. We are the church triumphant. Act like it. Talk like it. Shout like it. The enemy cannot defeat us. Bless his glorious name. The book of Revelation is the story of God defending the Jewish people from their enemies. He's going to crush every nation that comes against Jerusalem. Right now, Iran is planning the destruction of Israel. They were chanting death to America and death to Iran when our foolish government leaders were in Iran putting that silly nuclear deal together. Please understand, there is no chance that Iran is going to keep that treaty. Israel will prevail. Iran will not kill them. Why? Because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, in the mouth of Zechariah, when I will destroy every nation that lifts its hand against the Jewish people. Are you listening, Iran? Are you listening, Russia? God's going to wipe you out because you don't stand with him. Following the tribulation, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace, when the lion shall lay down with the lamb, when men will beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more, where the kingdom of God is going to rule the earth with a rod of iron based upon the principles of God's word, where the Ten Commandments will be on the walls of schools and universities. They will be revered, not ridiculed, where according to Revelation 21 and 8, the cowardly, the unbelievable, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, that means people involved in the occult. And if you're reading occult books, that's you. If you play with the Ouija board, that's you. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's where all of you are going to be at one time. Who is the rider on the white horse? The rider on the white horse is the Antichrist. He is a man. Say that with me. He is a man. And I say that because I've heard Bible teachers say it's a computer. No, it's not. It's a group of people. No, it's not. Daniel 8:15 says he is a man. He is Satan's demonic Messiah. Daniel 8:24. Some believe that the rider on the white horse is Jesus Christ. I've heard Bible teachers say that. That is absolutely not true. And here's why. The Greek text in Revelation 6 reveals that the crown worn by the rider on the white horse is Stephanus, a crown of victory won by a military conqueror. The Greek word for the crown Jesus wears in Revelation 19 is diadema, getting the word diadem, meaning the crown of glory. Jesus, crown of royalty. Jesus Christ is royalty. He is the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is the great deceiver. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 is the great deliverer. Jesus is his name. Amen. Why is the devil's guy on a white horse? Because the devil has been mocking Jesus Christ since Genesis 1 and 1. He's been emulating the things of God from the very beginning. He is the Antichrist, the chief son of Satan. That's what son of perdition means, the chief son of Satan. He's going to come promising world peace, and instead, he's going to bathe the world in blood. The rider on the white horse rode through the Garden of Eden, and he deceived Adam and Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. God's angels with flaming swords drove them out of paradise, and they were cursed. For life, they were cursed. Listen to me. In obedience, they would have had everlasting life in the garden. That was God's plan. But in defiance of God's word, they found death and destruction. Listen to me in this audience and those of you watching by television. In obedience to Christ, you will find everlasting life. In disobedience and rebellion against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you will be destroyed and have eternal destruction. There is no hope and no solution without Jesus Christ. The rider on the white horse rode through the camp of the children of Israel in the wilderness and deceived them into believing that the golden calf could deliver them. Forget Moses. He's at the mountain meeting with a God you can't see. Here's a God you can touch. Here's a God you can see. And those that bought that deception, God buried them right there in the desert. God does not put up with idolatry. The rider on the white horse rode into the life of Samson and seduced him into accepting Delilah. He lost his anointing. He lost his power. His eyes were gouged out with a hot iron. He spent the rest of his life grinding corn like an ox while the enemies of Israel mocked him. Why? Because he was deceived. The rider on the white horse rode through, and we are experiencing right now that deception in the United States of America. Our leaders have just signed a nuclear deal with Iran that is a masterstroke of deception by Iran. It is not going to bring peace. It will only guarantee war. Hello, Congress. I ask you to vote this nuclear deal down. Stop bowing to Iran. Stop bowing to Iran. Stand with Israel. Stand with the people of the United States of America. You represent us. Stand up and speak up. Our president has reduced our military to pre-Pearl Harbor days. Generals and command staff are now retiring from the military to escape the pathetic leadership of this commander-in-chief. That's happening. San Antonio is a military town. We have 5 military bases. I can tell you that the morale of the U.S. military is at an all-time low because of this president. Young recruits are not signing up for the U.S. military for the first time in our history. Why? Because the young men in America want to serve in a military prepared to fight and defeat the enemies of the United States of America. They do not want to become environmental flower-sniffing individuals. They don't want to stand in line to get the next transgender sex change. Did you know that the government has now voted that anyone in the military that decides he's a woman can get that at your tax expense? The military is not a social laboratory. Its purpose is to fight and defend the people of the United States of America. Wake up, Washington! This weakness is inviting terrorism to America. I'm probably going to write a book on this one thought. Three, the Bible reveals 12 attributes of the Antichrist. They're very similar to Hitler. I am a student of history. One of my three university degrees is history. The only difference between Hitler and the Antichrist is that Hitler affected Europe. The Antichrist is going to affect every human being on the planet. One, Hitler came to power through an economic crisis. The Versailles Treaty that ended World War I demanded that Germany pay reparations to America and Europe. It bankrupted Germany. Germany printed money like we, the United States right now, are printing money. There was massive inflation, which is what we're going to have in the very near future. There was poverty followed by hunger. Money was then printed on one side because the ink was more valuable than the money. The Antichrist will come to power on the wings of an economic crisis around the world. Let one small nation in Europe go bankrupt, as you almost see happen to Greece, and the European Union does not bail them out. The panic will spread. There will be a global economic crisis. World leaders will then demand an economic Caesar, and some of them already are, an all-powerful man who will produce a one-world currency, a one-world government. China right now is using their wealth as a weapon of war. Don't you ever forget it. And we are the person they are attacking. Two, the Bible says by peace the Antichrist will destroy many. Daniel 8:25. The Antichrist will make peace treaties he never intends to keep. Hitler made a peace treaty with England, and he had no intention of keeping it. Prime Minister Chamberlain went to Hitler asking for peace, and he came back to England waving a worthless piece of paper saying, "We have peace in our time." How many of you remember that historically? Not 2% of you, and all of you with white hair. Hitler lied. He attacked England, and the battle for Britain was savage. Winston Churchill rallied the British people, and he said, "You ask what is our aim?" And he said, "I can tell you in one word, victory." Did you ever hear that word before? Victory. For without victory, there is no survival. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me very clearly. This nation is not invincible. If we do not gear up our military, if we do not strengthen our moral position, this nation will go down because we lack the moral courage to stand against the wickedness of our generation. Stand up and speak up for righteousness' sake. This is your generation. Act like it. America has just committed to a nuclear deal that will never be kept because of Hudna. How many of you know about the Hudna element of the Islamic faith? Let me see your hand. One. Thank God for one. Hudna in the Islamic faith is the right to lie with God's blessing in the advancement of your faith against the infidel. We are infidels, according to the Islamic people. That thing they just did in Iran is a Hudna contract. They were lying when they put it together, and they have no intention of keeping it. If you think differently, go read the newspaper where their leading general the next day went to Russia and conferred with the Russian generals. What is he conferring about? I'll tell you what they're talking about. They're talking about a joint military effort against Israel. That's what they're talking about. How do you know that? Because that's what Ezekiel wrote the 38th chapter of Ezekiel about. That's how close we are. In this treaty, America has thrown Israel under the bus, and our president has paved the way for a nuclear Iran to create a nuclear holocaust. 3, the Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. Daniel 8:25. Craft to prosper. When Hitler came to power, he said, I'm going to build you an automobile, I'm going to rebuild the structure, and I'm going to bring prosperity. That automobile was the Volkswagen. That structure were the autobahns of Germany. You want to know why we have freeways in this country? Because when Eisenhower was fighting Hitler, he saw how quickly he could move his army from one end of Germany to the other on the autobahns. And he came back, and now we have Interstate 10. Until that, we did not. That's a fact of history. The coming Antichrist on the white horse will promise to end worldwide economic crisis, and he will do it. 4, the Antichrist will understand dark sentences. 8:23, Daniel 8:23. Satan is the prince of darkness. Listen, a prince is someone that has authority in a given kingdom. The Antichrist will be an apostle in the kingdom of darkness. He will have satanic... He will have satanic anointing to know secret things. Nothing will be hidden from him. Like Hitler, he will be a master of the occult. Hitler made personal and military decisions based on what his occultic advisors told him to do. You can reference that in the book, The Twisted Cross. Hitler's death is a reflection of his reverence for the occult. He killed himself at about 3:30 in the afternoon on April the 30th, 1945. That day is the main annual festival of Satanism. Hitler knew his power came from the devil, and his death was a tribute to the devil on the day he died. His followers set him on fire. How's the Antichrist going to come to an end? God will crush the Antichrist. And that word crush in the Bible literally means to grind him like fine powder. I mean, he's going to annihilate him. He's going to annihilate him at the Battle of Armageddon and cast him into the lake of fire. Hitler burned, the Antichrist is going to burn. We are the church triumphant because God Almighty is with us. Give the Lord praise in the house. The fifth similarity of the Antichrist is the Antichrist will be extremely arrogant. Daniel 8:25 says he will magnify himself in his heart. Now, I'm going to cover this in one sentence. I fully recognize that unlimited arrogance only cuts the potential list of Antichrist candidates down to a few thousand if you include Washington, D.C. 6, the Antichrist will be the master of deception. Jesus said in Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. St. Paul said in his first writing, let no man deceive you. Say that with me, let no man deceive you. Jesus said on another occasion in John 5:43, I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have not accepted me. But if someone else comes to you in his own name, you will receive him. Jesus was talking about the Antichrist in that verse of Scripture. In America, we have become accustomed to deception. We've become so accustomed to it, we don't know what the truth sounds like. That's a fact. Our president told us in his first term he believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. As soon as he got reelected for the second time, he turned and said, I support gay marriage. That's deception. That's deception. That's lying. concerning health care. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. That was proven an absolute deception by Mr. Gruber, one of the inner circle people in that administration. And this is what he said. We depended on the stupidity of the American people to make this a reality. They said, openly confessed, they deceived us by design. That's a fact. That's difficult for some American people to believe. But believe it happened, and it's continuing to happen. Americans have little confidence in Congress. Who believes a politician when he speaks? They've mastered the art of almost saying something. They stand boldly on both sides of the issue, fearlessly. The latest poll said 16% of the American people have confidence in Congress, and they live in Washington, D.C. I would like for those of you who are running for the presidency of the United States to look the camera in the eye and say, when I'm elected president, I will not lie nor deceive the American people. We would like to hear that. First John 4 and 3 says, the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world. Let me tell you that if it was in the world 2,000 years ago, it's running the world virtually right now. Satanism and the occult have invaded our theaters. Our children's games are becoming occultic. Books, Harry Potter was the first novel, occultic. Colleges and universities, you can get college credit now for witchcraft in the United States of America. Our military has embraced Satanism. A meditation garden is available at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Is provided for future officers of the U.S. Air Force. The spiritual leaders of this meditation garden are witches. That's printed in the newspaper. Think about that. The Bible says all nations that forget God, say it with me, are turned into hell. Say it with me. All nations that forget God are turned into hell. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Think about that. Think about that. You want to know why we've gotten this far down the road? Because the church was designed to be salt and light. And we became soft and easy on sin. And we became accommodating. And we didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And now we've gotten to the place that the most vulgar, unbelievable, ungodly, wretched lifestyle does not bring a reaction from the church. I want you to hear the Bonhoeffer statement, because the church needs to have a Bonhoeffer moment. To see evil and not call it evil is evil. Not to act is to act. Not to speak is to speak. God will not hold us guiltless. God is watching. End of quote. Bonhoeffer paid for his life, with his life, for making that statement. Hitler murdered him. But it was true then, and it's true now. Seventh, the Antichrist riding on the white horse will be a political genius. He will lead 10 kings. He will conquer 3, then lead the remaining 7 into the Battle of Armageddon. That's why in Revelation, the 13th chapter, in the first verse, John writes, and I saw the beast rising up out of the sea. In prophecy, when you're talking about the sea, you're talking about the world. John said, I saw a beast rise up out of the world, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on the 10 horns are 10 crowns. And the name of blasphemy is written on them. He's talking about the Antichrist world system. 8, the Antichrist will create a one-world religion. He will set his image up in the city of Jerusalem and command for the world to worship him. Those who do not will be killed on the spot. That's in Revelation, the 13th chapter. Imagine a world filled with demonized Satan worshipers. The war against Christianity has just begun, and it's going to get worse until the rapture of the church. What are we going to do, Pastor? We're going to stand up. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to fight the good fight. And the victory is going to be ours through Christ the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Nine, the Antichrist will come out of the original Roman Empire. Daniel 7 and 8, Daniel 9, 26. The European Union has reunified most of the original Roman Empire. It is a massive prophetic fulfillment that is a one-hour study in itself. 10, Daniel 8, 24 states that the Antichrist will seek to destroy the mighty. That means mighty nations. That would be America. And then he will seek to destroy the holy people. The holy people are the Jewish people. Why will the Antichrist hate the Jewish people? Because he hates the Antichrist being the chief son of Satan will hate what God loves. God loves the Jewish people. They are the apple of his eye. God loves the Jewish people because they gave us. They gave the world the word of God. They gave us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They gave us the prophets. They gave us Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They gave us the 12 disciples. They gave us St. Paul. Jesus said in John 4, 22, salvation is of the Jews. Say that with me. Salvation is of the Jews. That's in your Bible. That means take away the Jewish contribution to Christianity, and there would be no Christianity. The Antichrist will be shot in the head by a Jewish person who has figured out through Hebrew geometria that the sum of the letters of his last name equal the number 666. The Antichrist will recover miraculously from being shot in the head, emulating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he recovers from the gunshot, he is going to be Hitler on steroids. This time, God has made a way of escape for the chosen people. They're going to flee to Petra in Jordan, where they're going to be delivered by the hand of God for 3.5 years, exactly like God delivered the children of Israel in the wilderness. God will feed them. God will give them water that will come from a rock. God will give them the cloud by day to cool them and the fire by night to warm them. Not one will be sick nor feeble among them. God is not going to allow another dictator to persecute the Jewish people. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Give the Lord praise in the house. The Antichrist will mock Jesus Christ. Remember Daniel 8:25. He will stand up against the Prince of Princes. The Prince of Princes is Jesus. He will defy him. Satan's revolution against God started in Genesis 1 and 1. It's magnified in the book of Isaiah where Satan said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Satan continued his attack by tempting Jesus in Luke chapter 4, 6 and 7 saying, and the devil said unto him, Jesus, all this authority I will give to you, meaning the world, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, listen, and I will give it to whomever I wish. End of quote. Now that's in your Bible. Listen to me, young people. Satan is still promising riches and glory, fame and fortune to anyone who will give their allegiance to the Prince of Darkness. All it cost is your soul. It cost your soul. Some athletes in America, some singers, some movie stars say that they're getting their power from occultic powers and from the Illuminati. The Illuminati is a Latin phrase meaning the enlightened ones. Pat Robertson in his book said, I quote, the stream of world order flowing from the Illuminati is clearly occultic and demonic. 2 Corinthians 11:14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Just because you see a bright light and it speaks to you does not mean it's an angel from God. If that voice tells you anything that's contrary to this word, you are in contact with the devil himself. Young people, anyone that invites you to join any organization that gives you control over other people, run. It's not from God. Jesus Christ is looking for servants, not superstars. The greatest among you, Jesus said, is the servant of all. Say that with me. The greatest among you is the servant of all. The Antichrist will defy Jesus Christ. That's what that verse says. 12, the Antichrist will kill any person who refuses to take his mark. Daniel 8:24, he will destroy fearfully. Literally the translation, he will destroy with great terror. You're watching that right now with ISIS. The decapitation of people. The crucifixion of children because they confess Jesus Christ. I assure you, what you see ISIS doing in the Middle East in the reign of the Antichrist is going to be worldwide, including Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have heard preachers say, it's not coming here. Wake up! It is here right now. Terrorists are contacting military people in the United States right now and threatening them in their own homes right now. When will the Antichrist make his appearance? Let me give you this verse. When the Antichrist makes his appearance in 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8, St. Paul writes, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Satan is called lawless, and the Antichrist, one of his names, is the lawless one. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way, meaning taken out of the earth. Now, let me explain what that verse is saying. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. The Holy Spirit came to the church in the upper room. When the church leaves the earth, the Holy Spirit is going to go with him. And then Satan will release the Antichrist upon the earth. The church is not going through the tribulation. Get that down straight. He is not going through the tribulation. I was asked this question 10 years ago by Glenn Beck when he was on CNN in New York over national television. He said, Pastor, do you think the Antichrist in the Bible and the Messiah of Islam is one and the same? And I said, I don't know. And when you've been studying the Bible as long as I have, I don't know is not a very common answer. I said, but I will find out. Now, it's easy to know what the Antichrist is going to do. But I had to do some digging to find out the Islamic connection. One, the Islamic Messiah will be a powerful political and military leader. The Bible says the Antichrist is going to be the same thing. In Daniel 7:7-8, 2, the Islamic Messiah will be a spiritual world leader who will cause anyone who practices any other religion other than Islam that will not renounce their faith to be killed. The Antichrist is going to be a spiritual world leader who demands the world to worship him. Revelation 13:4-5. They're exactly alike in that. The third, the Antichrist will target Christians and Jews for death. Daniel 7:25. The Islamic Messiah will also target Christians and Jews for death. He's doing that right now through ISIS in the Middle East. The Mahdi is going to offer the religion of Islam to Christians and Jews. If they accept, they will be spared. Otherwise, they will be killed. Fourth, the Antichrist will set up his image in the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for the world to worship him and call him God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. The Islamic Messiah will attack Jerusalem and conquer it for Islam in order to establish Islamic rule all over the earth from Jerusalem. I want you to hear this. I can guarantee you right now that Iran is planning a Jerusalem attack because they have to set up their kingdom there to have the global Sharia law. Five, the Antichrist will offer Israel a seven-year treaty. Daniel 9:27. The Islamic Messiah will do exactly the same thing. Six, the Antichrist comes riding on a white horse. Revelation 6:2, the Islamic Messiah comes riding on a white horse. Seven, the Antichrist will change and set the times and the laws. Daniel 7:25, the Islamic Messiah will establish Sharia law over all the earth and immediately change the times and the laws. Amazing, but that's all true. So why should you care about the Antichrist and his mark on my right hand or forehead? Because if you do not make the rapture of the church, and many of you are not, I even go to church on Sunday night. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, many will say unto me in that day, that's judgment day, not some, but many, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? I will say, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That takes your breath. The Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be on it. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and few there be on it. Everyone's singing when we all get to heaven is not going to heaven. If you haven't reconciled that Jesus Christ is your blood atonement, you don't know the Lord. You're going to get to heaven because Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you surrendered to him and surrendered to him totally. As soon as the church is gone, there will be an economic crash. I can guarantee that. We're the only ones working. All the other deadbeats are on welfare. The Antichrist rides up on a white horse, and he may be Islamic. Everyone commanded to take his mark or have their heads cut off. If you take his mark, you will lose your soul. How do I know that? Because St. John writes in Revelation 14:9 through 11, quote, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and forever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. That's God's word. So it boils down to this. Some of you in this audience, and many of you watching by national television, are not ready for the rapture of the church. There's unconfessed sin in your life. You're gambling with your eternal soul. Your option is to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, or to prepare to bow before the Antichrist and to have your head cut off. It's so much easier to receive Jesus. So much easier. Think about it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Pastor John Hagee, this morning, and I wanted to see what you thought about the way he shared a word. Now, I believe him. I believe every word that he says, and this is why a lot of people have said revelation is scary. But it's scary if you're not living right. It's scary if you don't know where you'll spend eternity. It's scary if you're not sure you're in God and God is in you. Now, if you've made your calling and election sure with Almighty God, it's not fearful. But what I know is this. Pray that we do. Pray that we walk the straight and narrow with God. Pray that we are filled with his spirit. Filled, baptized in his spirit. Pray to hear from him. Pray to know that he is real. If you're not sure, go to him. I promise, believe in. And you know what? Even if you don't believe, if you go to him, but the only way you can go, go to him and tell him. I don't know if you're real. I want to believe that you're real. I don't know about your Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if I have it. I'm not sure if I'm understanding your word correctly. He will come. When I tell you, he will come and he will make peace with you. He will give you what you need. But when you tell him this, you must mean it from your heart. It can't just be some words you talking. You know, you got to mean that. I want to know if you're real. And if you are real, I want to serve you in the realness. I want to obey you in the realness. I want your Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set aside. Whatever you want from him, I need you to tell him. Because he didn't give us the spirit of fear. Another thing is this. If this is the way that we need to be to go back with him, if this is the way we need to be to walk upright before him daily, we need to accept what God allows. I don't know no other way. And he said, if I come any other way, I come as a thief and a robber. So I have to come straight up to God. I have to come straight up to him through his son Jesus so that he can bless me. Now, when I asked him to come, I had somewhere in my mind that I believe, but I just didn't really know. I needed the proof. I needed real proof that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He came. He stepped up on the scene and showed. And he come when I wasn't really looking for it. I really wasn't expecting it to come that fast. But he moved quickly because I really was sincere in what I told him. So there's no need to be afraid. If he so loved me, he sent his only begotten son that if I believe on him, I won't perish but have everlasting life. He let his son gave up his life for me, died for me. That's a love like you never saw before. Who else you know got one child and they give their child up for you? They let their child suffer and die for you. If he did this, truly he would come in. Truly he would show us the right way to him. Not according to man, not even according to what you think you already know, because he'll make you over again. He'll give you a brand new heart, a brand new mind, a brand new way of thinking. Because see, if you got a new heart and a new mind, you're not going to think the old way. You're going to think a different way. And you will still be you, but you will be a new and improved version of you, much better than you ever thought that you could be. Much better. But we got to go to him for it. And we got to go to him believing. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. I always wanted to take time to really hear him. And I used to listen, but I wasn't here where I am now. But he bring that truth, yeah. He bring the word. Now, I believe it, I believe it. Yeah. Okay. God bless you, Apostle Boatwright. Yeah. So we just got to get with God. And we won't be scared. We won't be fearful because he didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Now, that's what he's given unto us. I know many have taken this new wave, new age way. It's easier. You can do what you want to do and not, you know, nothing is going to happen to you. Well, that's what they tell you. Once saved, always saved. Look here, the devil is a fool and a liar. He'll make a fool and a liar out of us, but we got to let him. We have to allow him to. Yeah. Only one way to God, and that's in Jesus. Woo, that's through his son. That's what his word says. And we can have all of this stuff that we want that's pleasing unto the flesh, but that's not who we have to please. We got to please God. We got to please that spirit man. Uh-huh. We got to walk upright before him daily. I heard him talk about all kind of stuff. Abortions. Yeah, all kind. It's the truth. No true believer is a part of that. Mm-mm. That's not what we do. See, because he said, don't let fornication be once named among us. Now, many done laid up without being married, then went against God, and now want to erase what they done. But and many have. But guess what? God is not asleep. Yeah, he's not asleep. I met women, they couldn't eat beef. Anything, any blooded meat, they had a fit because it reminded them of what they had done. Yeah, all kind of things. Yeah, some became vegetarians because if they looked at meat, it reminded them of what they had done. Yeah, I heard them talk about homosexuality and all kind of stuff. The government, he went on with a list of things. Because we have to go back to the old path and take a look around. Because, see, we get busy. This sound good. And this is why a lot of preachers encourage their people not to go and eat from every table. Be careful where you're going to eat. Be careful who you're going to listen to. Because not everybody is on the straight and narrow. All preachers are not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the truth. A lot of preachers are preaching to your flesh. What pleases the flesh, not what pleases the spirit of God, because they're looking for following. They're looking for money. And you'll see a lot of houses packed out, no room. Because they're getting what pleases the flesh. A lot of people don't go to God for themselves. They want the preacher to do it. And they just want to go to the prophet and get a word. And they think they living holy and they think they living right unto God because they go to church and they hear a preacher and they find a prophetess and they get a word. No. You got to get on them knees. You got to go before God. It takes a lot more than just going to that altar saying, I do. Going to that altar, repenting, asking them to come in, and that's the easy part. After you do that, there's a part called living it. There's a part called living the word of God according to his word, not according to your flesh. And see a lot of people coming out with fleshly experiences. and they living according to their flesh. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was telling me how one of the church members was cussing. And I said, what? Yeah. And then from time to time, I've talked to some, you know. But see, we got to get it right with God. We got to get it right with him. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And when I say man, that means men and women. Yeah, that don't just mean a physical man, but that means men and women. We got to get it right with God and put these old deceivers away from us. Because we go over there to be deceived. And we listen at other people. Ooh, girl, my pastor say this and that. The lady told me yesterday, she said, the woman told her, well, my pastor told me to keep it real. Keep it real. You ain't been delivered. And look, these people want to get up and preach the, I can't say the word of God. Because if you ain't living it, how you, what you going to tell? What are you going to tell people that you're not living? Yeah, the scriptures say, get the beam, and it's, I got to get it out my eye, and then I can come over there and show you how to get it out of yours. I get the mote out of my eye, and I can show you how to get the beam out of yours. But if I don't have it out of my eye, I can't show you how to get it out of yours, because I'm really not seeing good for something in my eye, huh? Yeah. So we can't play with God like this and ignore revelations and ignore First John and, yeah, ignore the book of James. And it's my thing. This how I feel. And I mean, just say some off-the-wall stuff sometimes, people. But they say they know God. And many say they're looking for God to come and do this and do that. But what have you really given him to work with? Oh, I mean, we'll give him a lot of prayer now. We can do that because we need something from him. And we're going to stay in prayer until he give it to us. But I'm talking about daily walking upright before him. And now I'm going to tell you, in my older years, I'm better than I was in my younger years. Because in my younger years, I wasn't giving God what he needed. But in my older years, I've learned better, so I'm doing better. And it's my privilege to work unto him while it's day. And I believe because I work unto God faithfully, I believe that's why I'm still here. I believe that's why I can still see, still hear. I can still walk. I can still talk because I'm working unto him. I believe that in my heart. I can't tell you that, hey, I got it like this little bit I got going on because I exercise. I always ate right, you know. I don't like good dessert. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this. God has kept me. And I believe he kept me for the sake of the work. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. And I'm so thankful unto him for the work. All kind of work. Yeah. He didn't just limit me to one thing, but all kind of work. I know the field of an evangelist. That's what he chose me to do. I know that now. That I know. But many days that field cover a lot more things to be done. And some things I want to get done and the Lord will say no. Or he'll show me stop. I don't want you doing that. I'm not having you to go do that. But other things, he said, go. He gave me the green light. It's wide open. And I am blessed because of it. Yeah. And I'm telling you, older people, look up, look up, look up today. Look up, look up, look up today. God is our helper. And it's not over for you until he says that it's over. Yeah, don't give up. Don't give up. talking about, well, you know, I'm 71 now. So what? Find something to do at 71 unto the Lord. It's a lot to do. But a lot of times we don't want to do it because we set in our ways and we quick to get aggravated. And if people don't do what we say, all kind of stuff. I try to tell people the truth and I try to share what's right with them. And I go on and sometimes, well, you fussing. No, I'm not. I promise I'm not fussing. I'm just trying to get the point across to you. This is the right thing to do. And if you do what's right, it's going to bless you. You will be blessed because you did what was right. Yeah. I used to teach my children, hey, the reason I stay on you, because if you do this, that's coming. And if you do that, this is coming. You're underage. They're not going to come to you. They're coming to me. So if you do this, I won't have to worry about them coming to me about that. Uh-huh. And that's the way we should be with God. We want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him daily. We want to walk upright before him daily. Pray and ask God, Lord, help me to get rid of the form of godliness. Help me not to talk about you, but I'm doing something else. Help my heart and my lips to line up together. What I say out of my mouth is coming from my heart. Lord, open my eyes that I see your people. And Lord, those that are in need and I can be of help, use me and strengthen me as you use me. Don't let me get frustrated. Don't let me get aggravated, but let me work unto you. Because you didn't get frustrated and aggravated when you suffered, when you even hung on the cross, bloody, in pain and agony. You didn't get frustrated and aggravated. Help me, Lord. Help me to be like you. Yeah. Let this mind be in me that was also in you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, we're going to one more song and the studio is open when we come back. If anyone have anything they would like to say this morning, please feel free and press that number one. And if you want to give your opinion about John Hagee this morning, I'd like to hear that too. Yeah. So let's go to this one.
I started out working on the building a long, long time ago. Turn around in a world of sin. I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. Time to go back home. I wandered here, I wandered there. Months and years have passed. I had plenty of friends all the time. The life I lived was fast. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ear, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I worked in back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so. And this is how I know, that same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
What we got to do. Many left the Lord and we took on the new wave, new age stuff. But we got to go back and make our calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're grateful unto him this morning. So listen, the studio is open. If you have something you would like to say, press the number one today and come in. All right, Miss Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning. How are you?
Blessed.
Yes, me too. I just want to say, you know, if you're not careful, you can really get tricked. Because listening to the preacher this morning, things may look the same, but they're quite different. It just might look like one way, but it's really something different. You really need to do your own research and your own studying. So I just want to say that was some more great teaching, some more wisdom, and as we study the word, we become wiser. It's time to come back home. And that's all I want to say, Sister Barbara. Continue with your good work, and I'm enjoying it. And I can't say nothing but God, I thank you for another day. Another day, Lord.
Yes.
You're giving me one more day.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
All right. Is there anyone else?
And good morning, anyone? Brother Louis and Sister Sherry. I'm not going to do no roll call because I barely know my own name. But I do know Brother Louis.
Okay. He said, hey, Sister Jerry, he had already said it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thank God for this message, and I will be listening to a lot more of John Hagin's messages. Because yesterday when I played the little clip, that he talked about the UK and America and Europe and all of this. I saw it yesterday morning and I was like, let me listen to this. And then I listened to that. I didn't get a chance to hear the rest of it. Yeah. But I thank God this morning. Is there anyone else want to say something about this message today? What do you think? What do you feel? Do you feel that it's a right now message, an end time message? What do you feel? Do you feel he told the truth about Revelation? Let's hear it. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you. How are you?
Bless how the faith. Good morning to you, Mr. Bob. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry. First of all, I want to give thanks to God. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. I thank you for the activity of my limbs. I thank you for keeping me in my right mind. And I thank you for who he is and me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And I thank God for the word this morning that went forth. Thank you for us being able to come together as fellowship with one another each morning. And I just thank God for everything he's doing in my life and others, and, you know, that the guy, John Hagan, you know, it was a powerful message to me. And, you know, I had been, at one point in time, you know, I was listening to the Bible. You know, I was just listening to the whole Revelation, and I did it. I know I probably did it for about 2 or 3 months, you know. So he kind of broke it down for me, you know, to give me a better understanding. And, you know, even what he was saying about the peace treaties and stuff that was going on, you know, around the time the pandemic hit. I can't remember exactly what country it was, but they signed the peace treaty, one of those countries in Israel, think of the exact word to say for it, but they signed a peace treaty that they was on. They was giving them power for something, you know, and that caught my attention. And then, you know, I heard somebody come back with that saying about, you know, that nation, that's what was gonna go on in the end time, and you know, it came to pass, you know, so. You know, he said, you know, the Bible say our people suffer from a lack of knowledge, and, you know, we got to pay attention, you know, because, you know, to the naked eye, it might seem one way, but if you really sit and look at it and, you know, God give you discernment of that situation, you know, we in those days, and right now, you know, it's just going to show you, you know, the war with Ukraine and, you know, China and Russia getting together. And, you know, I was listening to another apostle, and he was talking about that Russia and China was on, you know, team up. But also, you know, I listening to the news, and they was talking about how China is watching how the U.S. and Russia, how things play out with it. And, you know, that China got their eye on a certain, I think it's Taiwan or something like that, or Korea, one of those places that they, you know, want to take over. And they just kind of sitting back and watching how, you know, the U.S. and Russia and everything play out, you know. So, you know, we need to be praying, you know, because, you know, the China people, they, and another thing, you know, they were saying that, China owns a lot of land in the U.S. too, and in California they bought a whole lot of land on the coast, you know. So the man was saying, well, why would they buy the land on the coast? And he was saying, well, the reason they bought that land on the coast, so, you know, they can send their ships, you know, over here. And it makes sense, you know, because I think China is closer on the West Coast, on the Pacific, you know, so they'll come across here. They can't come on the East Coast, like in Virginia, you know, because that's the first largest naval area is in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. And so California is, I think, the second largest naval area. So them buying that land over there to give them an opportunity to be able to come over here. So, you know, I pay attention to a lot of things, and, you know, the Lord just, you know, put that in my spirit. And then for that man to come back and say that, and now me seeing what's going on, it all makes sense to me, you know. And, you know, we just got to be aware and, like I said, you know, continue to pray and, you know, stand in the seed for these people and what's going on. And, you know, just keep our faith and our walk with God going right, you know, because we ain't got long, you know. Just things are going on. We just pray that, you know, the Lord continue to give us grace and continue to cover us. But, you know, it just make you think. And I just, you know, even like what you were saying, was it scary or not, you know, I guess for the average person, or I guess a believer that's just coming to believe God or coming, giving their life to God, maybe it would be scary. But for a believer that's, you know, been walking the walk for some years, has been, you know, through some things, and, you know, his faith and trust in God is elevated, and, you know, he got more trust in God, I would think it would be stronger. I think that it wouldn't be as much fear as it would if, you know, there was a newcomer and everything. But at the same time, you know, knowing that, you know, the things that's going to go on in those days, and, you know, like he was saying, the ones that don't go with the Antichrist and them cutting the head off, you know, that really make you think. But at the same time, you know, we're going to a better place. So as long as we, you know, we might go through that persecution, but, and we might lose our life, but we're going to lose our life in the end. But in the end, it'll be worth losing your life, if I could say.
Anthony, I believe this. I believe you won't lose your life. You'll save your life. Because, see, the life we live now is hid in Christ.
Yeah,
and
ma'am.
If we suffer for his sake, we get to reign with him. And if we, you know, we suffer with him, you know, it's a blessing to us. And many are going to be offered many things. But if we don't accept it and hold out, we'll be blessed. But now is that time. Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to get tied up, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God. Right now is to begin to walk according to his word. Yeah, start it now. And that way, when these things come, we don't have to be afraid, or we don't have to even think about where we going, because it's already written. It is written. Yeah. And I say this, no calamity shall come nigh my dwelling. Yeah, I say it won't even be offered to us. Many of us may sleep on away from here. God have another plan. He may hide us. Whatever the case may be, he's able. But he know the very intent of each of our hearts. And either we got to be for him or we're going to be against him. And we just hold on to him. I mean, just hold on to him. Talk to him about what you're fearful of. Talk to him about what, you know, you don't understand. Lord, make it clear to me, you know. But, and what you said about North Carolina and all of that, California, yeah, that makes sense to me too, Brother Anthony.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thinking too about what you're saying about, oh, the Lord hiding me. Now you said that, and I had a dream. And I think I told you about the dream about me and the friend of mine, and it was like we was in the like in the desert, kind of hiding.
Mhm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So now when you saying that, you know, that kind of that came back to my mind, to my memory, you know, of that, and you know, the kind of that's like what you're saying, you know, he was hiding. In a way, it seemed right, you know, that he was hiding us, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So,
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. What I know is God is faithful. And it's okay today in Jesus' name. But I just want to, you know, encourage those who, you know, feel some type of way, feel a little fearful about it, or they're not sure, and this kind of thing. I just want to encourage you to pray, encourage you to study the word, build your relationship with him. And, you know, ask him, Lord, let your spirit lead and guide me, and give me a heart and a mind to follow you and only you. Don't let me be confused about nothing, Lord. Don't let me be out of place with nothing. You know, let me give up what I should give up and get it right so that I can be ready when you come. Because this was an old message, as Brother Lewis said, and this was years ago he preached this, and we're still here. But the thing of it is we want to get it right because God has brought this to our attention so that we could. We can stand on any corner and declare Jesus. And we got power to bind up. We got power to loose. God gave us all of this. But if we have not been using it, then we're not in the habit and practice of doing it. We're not in the habit and practice of commanding.
in Jesus' name. Yeah. He gave us that power. And if we begin to use it, you'll begin to get to see a difference. Brother Lewis put Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Uh-huh. Yes, the nuclear deal he spoke of was Obama. Was still president. Yeah, he back during those days, he talked about a lot of things that, you know, we have been deceived about. You know, Brother Anthony, we heard him say he was going to make a difference. And he sure did. But it wasn't in the way that we thought it would be. But nonetheless, we trust God. And God brought us through, and he's still bringing us through. Yeah. But I just wanted to say that, Brother Anthony. I hope you didn't forget your other thoughts, so I give it back to you.
But now I was kind of done with it, but, you know, I just amazed, you know, like him, you saying that was an old message, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I know that that was some years ago, and now, you know, this time that we in right now, seeing, you know, what he, basically what he spoke or prophesized in that message is coming to pass. Has came to pass, you know. So,
okay.
That just lets you know, we got to trust and believe in God. And, you know, I was talking to my friend, and she was saying that, you know, some you can't believe everybody. As far as like prophesizing, you know, the thing. And I said, well, you know, God give you discernment too. And I said, but if it's for, you know, if it's for you, it's for you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the word say there will be false prophets in the end time. But, you know what I'm saying? Even with that, we know that this man wasn't a false prophet because the word that he came to pass. So, that just lets you know, that he wasn't, you know, not saying that there is prophecy. I can't even get it out, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, regardless of the fact, we just, you know, got to be steadfast with God and, you know, continue to read the word. And, you know, God will show us, you know, he will lead and guide us. We just got to be obedient to his will and, you know, to trust him. And, you know, the more we seek his face and the more we are walking with him, the more that he is able to open our eyes and show us things. So that's a good thing. You know that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We thank him this morning. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say about this message today? Good morning, Sister Mari. God bless you this morning. God bless you. So good to see you here. Good morning, Pastor David. God bless you, sir. Good morning, Sion. And good morning, Rose Brown. Hey, Rose Brown, I'm coming over by your way, but I'm not sure if I have time to stop this morning. I have to come back and get some things done. But the young lady is over there. She said she's at the doctor's office. So when the show ends, I'm going to run over and pick that up from her. And then once I get home and get settled, I'll let you know, Rose Brown, how everything went. Yeah. Good morning to you, Sister Samoa. God bless you this morning. And good morning to you again, Sister Mari. And I see a 267-586 number. I can't quite remember that one. Because I'm thinking 267-968 is Sister Samoa, but it may not be. But good morning to you. Good morning to you. And good morning to you, Sister Rita. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodwin. Again, good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good morning, Sister Jerry. Good morning to you, Sister Spinner. Good morning to you, Brother Louis. And Apostle Boatwright was in earlier, but I think she had to leave. But I thank God today for his word. For his word is true. And forever his word is settled in heaven. And we need him to sanctify us through his truth. for his word is true. Yeah. And so we might look at the book of Revelations, you know, in a week or two. We may look at that. I wanted to go back to Genesis and, you know, look at Abraham and bring it on up. But we may look at Revelations and read through the book and see what the Lord is saying there, because it's important we know that word. And if he told us what's going to take place, it's important that we know it so that we can see the times. We can read the times. And I know it's wound up much more than it has 12 years ago. It has wound up much more than 65 years ago. Yes, 70 years ago. Uh-huh. That time is shorter. And the word of God is fulfilling daily. It's coming to pass daily. We can see it. We can see it. Yeah. Look at the people. I'm telling you to drive on the road. Be careful. That's all I can tell you. It's like they're running a race, and I don't know where they're going, because nothing can be that important, and you think you're in the control of the vehicle, but you're not. You're driving a big ball of fire. You're rolling down the street with a big ball of fire. Anything can lock up on it, but people don't think. They just going. And you cannot stop them. Don't you even try. I hear them say they don't care about the ticket. I'll pay it. And that's not always true. A lot of them have suspended license because they got those tickets, because they didn't care about the obeying the laws of the land. We must be careful, though. If you're a driver, you be careful. I take this one freeway, two. I take 295, and I take 95. Every now and then, going out to the prison, I take I-10. But I try to get in that far right lane so that those two or three passing lanes are clear. And many days, that's not good enough for people. I'm in that far right lane, and you can just pass me, but they ride me, because they want to get off at the next exit. And I'm like, my goodness, did you see the speed limit I was going before you jumped over here behind me? Or you see, they don't pay nothing, no attention. They just going. And they believe everybody ought to be just going fast, but they made the roads for everybody, and they put a speed limit. And if the person is going even 5 miles over the speed limit, it should be good enough, but it's not. They want you to go 10 and 20 and 30 miles over the speed limit. Yeah. I'm riding down US 17 and the speed limit is 50, but they doing 80. That's 30 miles faster than we're supposed to be going. Yeah. So I just thank God he covered me and I'm safe, and I thank him for taking me and bringing me home safe every time I leave. I'm not afraid to drive. I'm not afraid to go. I have to go and do what I have to do and come on back. And I thank God for it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sister Mara, I met Yvonne's mom. Yeah, I had a wonderful, wonderful time with her. And she's a real sweet lady, and I thank God for her. And today, when I come back, I'll be working on some things for her. So just keep us in prayer, and I keep her mom in prayer. And intercessors, I need y'all praying for Margaret, Yvonne, Yvette, and Renee. If y'all to keep that family lifted in prayer, I will be forever grateful unto you, because I know God is going to do something in that. There's no way she met me and she went away for a while, but come right back. I had to send for her, because God, he's going to use me to do something with that family. And I trust him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if no one else have anything they would like to say, we'll get out again early this morning. And I'm going to try to stop getting out so early and carry it on to the full extent. But I have no more to say. And if you don't have anything to say, we can end it and pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So if you have something, press that number one and come in and share with us what you think or what you believe the message was about. Or I agree with the message or I don't agree with the message. It's, yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And Father, we come this morning as we departing, and we asking you for wisdom. We asking you for knowledge. We asking you for understanding of your word. And Lord, we are asking you to teach us and help us to apply your word to our everyday life, the way you want us to live it daily. Father, we ask that you would give us the love that we need to share with others, for you wish that none should perish. And Father, we don't want no one to perish either. Family, friends, strangers, we don't want them to perish. And Lord, even if they can't receive what we say, Lord, we want to use the opportunity that's presented to us to at least try to reach them. Yeah, because we know that your word holds true. You don't have to lie. You have all power. Father, this morning, I ask that you would bless your people. Move by your spirit and bless them spiritually like never before. Father, give wisdom, give knowledge, give understanding. Again, we're asking you this morning. For Lord, it's a fool that despises wisdom. It's a fool that despises knowledge. It's a fool that despises understanding. And Father, we need you today. We want it from you. Hot off the press, direct from heaven. God, we don't want man's way and man's version. We want your way and your version in the name of Jesus. Help us to be your people. Father, help us to prepare to be that church that you're coming back looking for without spot or wrinkle. It's not according to work, God. It's not according to work, but it's according to obedience unto you, faith and trust in you. Hallelujah. Move by your spirit for us today in the name of Jesus. Bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we're able to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. Do it today for us. Oh, glory to his majesty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 10th. 2022 in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. And we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back today. God bless you.
I am.
1 minute, Miss Cloud. Let me end the show.
Oh, my, just cut off.